Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 19 through chapter 12, verse 9. The Reverend Larry Vogel is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from 2 Corinthians beginning at the 11th chapter. For you gladly bear with fools, being wise yourselves. For you bear it if someone makes slaves of you, or devours you, or takes advantage of you, or puts on airs, or strikes you in the face. To my shame, I must say we were too weak for that. But whatever anyone else dares to boast of, I'm speaking as a fool, I also dare to boast of that. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they offspring of Abraham? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I am a better one. Talking like a madman. With far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings, and often near death. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, on danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is made to fall, and I am not indignant. If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. The God and Father of the Lord Jesus, he who is blessed forever, knows that I am not lying. At Damascus, the governor under King Aretas was guarding the city of Damascus in order to seize me, but I was let down in a basket through a window in the wall and escaped his hands. I must go on boasting, though there's nothing to be gained by it. I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man was caught up into paradise. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And he heard things that cannot be told, which man may not utter. On behalf of this man I will boast, but on my own behalf I will not boast, except of my weaknesses. Though if I should wish to boast, I would not be a fool, for I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it, so that no one may think more of me than he sees in me or hears from me. So to keep me from being too elated by the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from being too elated. 3 I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me, but he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me." O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What an odd passage. It is something that almost reads like a jumbled mess. It's full of foolishness, of boasting and then not boasting, of this and then that. It's a little bit like a mindless rant. Absolutely from somebody who's more than a little bit angry. Angry because people he dearly loves, people that he helped bring to Christ, have been hoodwinked by a bunch of con men, by counterfeit pseudo-apostles, who've seduced believers with stories of all their exploits. He's mad at the fake apostles. He's mad at the foolishness that the people have stood for this and allowed themselves to be drawn in. It's as if Paul especially takes offense that these people are bragging about their exploits. You want exploits, he says? Try this. How about hard labor, prisons, beatings, scourges with the lash or rods, a stoning, shipwrecks, the dangers of travel, rivers and seas and outlaws and Jews and Gentiles and city thugs and wilderness bandits, freezing and sweltering and starving and thirsty and naked. How about that for exploits? It's as if he exhausts himself with it. And then he says, and apart from other things, there's the daily pressure on me, my anxiety for all the churches. And then in what to me is actually comical, he shows just how much this weakness is there, because he tells the story of his escape and how, I mean, he's packed into a basket, stuck through the window and lowered down. My goodness, it's downright silly to picture it. Here he is, cowering in the basket, swinging as they drop him down to the ground. Who is weak and I'm not weak? So weak that there's that sort of thing. But then there's this something else. Not weak, but strong, mighty, powerful. A vision, or more than a vision. So astounding that he switches from first person to third person. I know a man. There's this. I know a man who 14 years ago was caught up to heaven, to paradise itself. Ah, you say. Now that's something to talk about. That's something big and bold. That is. And he no sooner says it. No sooner says it. But he adds, he heard things that cannot be told, things that dare not be uttered. Astounding. He's caught up to heaven, whether in the body or not. He's in paradise. And then we want to hear more, and he says, no, things that dare not be told. With that, it's back down to earth, back down to the present with its misery. On behalf of this man, I will boast, but on my own, I will not boast, except of my weaknesses. If your church celebrates the Transfiguration this coming Sunday, remember this passage. Remember it when you hear Jesus enjoin the disciples, Peter, James, and John, to say nothing about their glimpse of heaven, about their glimpse into eternity, into the great wonder of this conversation between Jesus and Moses and Elijah. Say nothing. Because all talk of glory has to wait. Whether it's Paul telling you everything that he heard, or those three disciples getting to tell everybody what they just saw. No. It must wait for the proper time. It must wait for the three disciples, for when Jesus has conquered sin and death and hell at the cross. all of our triumphs, all of our great stories, let them all just bow before that work of Christ, all of it. And so Paul says no more of the glorious event, the wonderful event, the event that isn't weakness but power and might. No more of that. No, I will boast of my weakness. Right down to that humbling thorn, that crippling thorn from which he prays release, and to which prayers God gives his clear, blunt answer, no. No. No, the thorn remains, the thorn that pierces every conceit, every bit of his elation, every bit of what he would like to rejoice in. So as we read through all of this, finally the question is, well, what of us? Yeah, what of us? Should we expect any more or less? Should we expect a salvation without suffering? Not that our suffering earns anything, but if we're following Christ, if the apostle has touched our hearts again, what shall we expect in our lives? Perhaps nothing more than the fact that we too, again and again, will be in that basket dangling, hanging, helpless and hapless, and just saying, God, please don't drop me. Please. Let me down gently. Picture yourself there. That too is the way of the cross. That is the road of discipleship. That is the weakness that is you and that is me. As much as we fool ourselves again and again that we're on top of something, that we are somehow or another controlling things, no, there you are, swinging back and forth, praying to God. And in our Lord Jesus, who went to the cross for us, who refused to stay on the mountaintop or to let his disciples stay there, who came down and took the road to Jerusalem only to suffer, to die, to be utterly helpless and weak. He is who you will count on. He's the one I will count on. So it must be. There's no other way to be prepared for the glory that lies ahead than when we are here in this weakness. However will I be rid of all my stupid conceit unless God punctures that conceit again and again with this thorn or that one, whatever it may be. How will I ever know faith until the Spirit of God declines my prayers for the easy way? Brings me again into the way of the cross. However will you or I realize that this word to Paul is to you and to me. My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.